and faster glacier movement at the island's edges.
And now the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imamc.org for Thursday, November 19th, 2015. Two Palestinians killed by Israeli army gunfire in separate incidents. Meanwhile, six Palestinians were injured during drone invasions targeting West Bank communities. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The Palestinian Ministry of Health announced on Thursday that Israeli soldiers shot and killed a 26-year-old Shadi Arafah from Hebron City in southern West Bank. On Thursday evening, a Palestinian armed man opened fire at a group of settlers, then rammed his car in another group near the Gosh Etzion illegal Israeli settlement block in southern West Bank. Israeli soldiers opened fire at the Palestinian attacker, killing Arafah as he was passing from the area to his home during the time of the attack. Two settlers were killed, another nine were injured during the Palestinian attack, Israeli media sources reported. Earlier on Thursday, 22-year-old Mohammed Alayan from Ramallah City died of wounds he sustained after being shot by Israeli soldiers during a protest at a military checkpoint outside Ramallah City. With the two deaths today, 91 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli army fire since October 1st, including 18 children. According to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, 10,000 Palestinians have been injured in the same period. In other news, Israeli soldiers invaded on Thursday at dawn the Dehesh refugee camp south of Bethlehem, kidnapped at least two young Palestinian men, shot and injured four others during ensued clashes. Elsewhere, at least two Palestinians have been injured on Thursday at dawn, while nine others were kidnapped by Israeli soldiers invading Tel Town south of the northern West Bank city of Nablus. Moreover, one Palestinian was kidnapped Thursday and another resident suffered various cuts and bruises after Israeli soldiers stormed and searched many homes in Hebron, the southern part of the occupied West Bank. In Jerusalem, Israeli soldiers kidnapped five Palestinian civilians after searching homes in a number of areas in the city. That's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was a Thursday, November 19th, 2015 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Jonas Maui and me, Ghassan Bandura.
Listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast. We encourage your participation. You can call us with your breaking news stories here at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ryan Fritcher and Robin Ryan. The producer and reporter is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Pat Epstein. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Yanka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Robert Barncourt.
And I'm Sari Gametta. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Positively Revolting, talk hosts Ani and Lynn talk about not succumbing to Islamophobic and anti-immigrant rhetoric as disinformation is promoted to maintain status control. At 9, Marvin and Angie of Northwest Vets for Peace host Veterans Voice. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, we hear Radio EcoShock on Facing the Harsh Realities of Now with David Wasdell from the Apollo Gaia Project. Thank you for listening to KBOO, and thanks, members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, now is a great time to become one, because we have a matching grant for new and increasing membership. Just go to kboo.fm/give to find out more.
I'm Robert Barncourt.
And I'm Sarika Mehta.
Good night.
We are joined on the line now by Abed Ayoub. He is the legal director of the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee. And Mr. Ayoub, today the House of Representatives passed H.R. 4038, the so-called SAFE Act of 2015. What is this act? What will it mean for refugees from particularly Iraq and Syria?
Thank you. Well, this act, really what it does is adds another layer of another step in the process of obtaining refugee status for Syrian and Iraqi nationals. It's a step we don't feel is needed, and essentially what it asks is for the Department of Justice, FBI, CIA, and other government agencies to give every individual refugee applicant a security clearance and to say that they're safe to enter into the U.S. It's problematic because of the fact that there's already a long process in place for these refugees, and there's already a strenuous process, and already, and this current process that's in place already has the background checks. So we feel that this is just an unnecessary move by the House and something that's not needed.
Now, this act, although President Obama pledged to veto it, was apparently passed with a majority that would override a veto. Does it appear likely that it will move into becoming a law?
Well, we still have to see what the Senate is going to do with this bill. That's still up for debate. We're confident that it's not going to become a law. We're confident that the 47 Democrats will come to their senses and realize that this is not what their base wants. This is not what the country wants. And this is just another unnecessary step in something. And what they've done is taken a very tragic situation and a very tragic happening to these individuals, to these refugees, and politicized it. They're trying to get political gain of the suffering of these individuals, when we know that there is no tie between these refugees and what they're claiming. And furthermore, this is a discriminatory bill in that it just singles out Syrian and Iraqi nationals. There's no need for them to single out Syrian and Iraqi nationals. It's very problematic. And it's something that we feel, that it's not needed, very discriminatory, and it's taking advantage of a very tragic situation. And it's very un-American-like of this to take these measures.
Well, as you said, it seems to be politicizing the situation in France, where the attack that killed 129 people was initially, there was a passport found next to one of the attackers that seemed to indicate that he had come with a wave of refugees. That claim was later refuted. How is it that that hysteria around that particular claim has led to, in this case, legislation?
That's our question. That claim has refuted. And furthermore, France has agreed to accept 30,000 refugees. So let's look at what France is doing. They're the ones that got attacked. They're the ones that are in the middle of this. And it's their citizens that got attacked. And yet they're still accepting refugees. And furthermore, it makes no sense that a fabricated passport will lead to legislation. That shows the mindset of our lawmakers, that they're looking for any excuse, even a false one, even one that's a flat-out lie, the one that's been proven to be a lie, any excuse to target Arabs and Muslims, any excuse to pander to the xenophobes in their base. And that's what's happening. They're using this fake passport as an excuse to link refugees with the attack in France, and we know that's not the case. We know that there's no linkage and there's no tie between the two.
And aren't many of the refugees that are seeking asylum in Europe and the U.S. escaping from attacks by Daesh or ISIS themselves?
Yes, many of the refugees, almost all of the refugees fleeing, are escaping Daesh. And they're finding their way to Europe. They're finding their way to countries, in Europe. they're fleeing the same violence that struck Paris. They're fleeing the same violence that struck Lebanon on the day before the Paris attacks, and Iraq and Afghanistan. So this is an ongoing problem, and these refugees are caught in the middle. This country, the United States, has already accepted Syrian refugees. A majority of them are women and children. A majority of them are orphans and widows. And they're here, they're law-abiding citizens. Overall, in the past decade, we've accepted tens of thousands of refugees every year, and they pose no problem and no security threat to this country. It's also important to remember that the American refugee system in the U.S. is different than Europe. We have process, we have procedures in place to ensure that those that come in this country do pass a background, do pass a clearance. And furthermore, it takes maybe 2, 3, sometimes 4 years for an individual to obtain refugee status. 4 years. So the claim that by the Republicans that Daesh is going to use refugee status to come into the U.S. And attack us immediately is dumbfounded. It takes 4 years for the refugee status, for the refugee process to go through. And it's nonsense that it's being used as part of what they think is a master plan to get into this country.
And considering the amount of refugees that are being taken in by some of the poorer countries in Europe, would you suggest that perhaps the U.S. should consider taking in more refugees, given that we are at this point the wealthiest nation on the planet?
Yes. I mean, if you take a look across the country, even look in Lebanon, there's over 1 million refugees. Jordan, over 1 million refugees. Turkey, over 1 million refugees. You have refugees across Europe. This country could take in more refugees, and we've advocated for the increase in the number of refugees admitted into the United States, and that was gaining attention, gaining momentum, and we believe that those that did not want to see that are taking advantage of the tragedy in France to fulfill their political agenda, stoke the flames of hatred, of bigotry, and pander to a base that really is xenophobic.
Wow. So this seems to be a definite backlash from the attacks in Paris. What are some of the other backlashes that you've seen among the Arab American community in the U.S.?
Yes, this is definitely a backlash. And other types of backlash we've seen include the hate crimes, many threats targeting community members, the vandalization of mosques, the threats to Arab and Muslim community members, and even those perceived to be Arab and Muslim are now targeted, such as the Sikh community. So it's unfortunate that we still see this backlash. I think it's clear that the Muslim community as a whole is not represented by Daesh. Muslims are actually the main targets of Daesh, and they've killed more Muslims than any other persons in the world. So Arabs and Muslims in this country are victims of this terror group. And unfortunately, many can't see that, and we see the backlash and hate crimes and threats and in vandalism almost on a daily basis now. And unfortunately, those seeking public office, these candidates, are fuming this. With their rhetoric, they need to know that there's a backlash to what they say. With their rhetoric, people are going to act on this and begin inflicting violent hate crimes on our community members, and that's a great concern.
So what would you suggest for people who are concerned about this SAFE Act? Is it the time to call senators to voice support for the Arab American community and refugees from Middle Eastern countries?
Yes, right now is the time to call senators. It's the time to put pressure. There has been a broad coalition, a very supportive coalition, coming out against the SAFE Act, coming out in support of refugees. It's been very diverse. We've seen Muslim organizations, Christian organizations, Jewish organizations working together for what's right. And that's been uplifting, and we're glad to see that. But the pressure needs to continue, and we need to do our part, contact the U.S. senators, contact the elected officials to ensure that this bill does not become law.
Well, thanks so much. Again, I've been speaking with Abed Ayyub. He is the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee's legal director. Thank you for joining us today on KBOO.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month is the amazing Nina Simone, showing Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. Nina Simone was one of America's true musical geniuses. With her unique signature mix of layering folk, gospel, classical, pop, and African music, along with a revolutionary vision of Black freedom, pride, and defiance. Again, that's the amazing and revolutionary Miss Nina Simone, showing as part of the We Real Cool film series on Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is currently hiring for two positions. We are hiring a membership director. This is a part-time position, 32 hours per week, $15.11 per hour. We're also hiring a PM News and Public Affairs director. This is a salary full-time position paying $31,400 a year.